Okay, Brother Brian has asked us to read from Acts 16, verses 16 through 36. Acts 16:16-36. As I looked over these verses, I had to think, you know, one of the things I really struggle with in life is getting upset when things don't go good, when you have a bad day, and you just seems like things ain't going good. And I looked over these verses here at the heading by verse 20, it says, Paul and Silas are beaten and jailed. You know, that's a bad day. You know, things weren't going, you know, real good. But then at the heading at the top of verse 26 says, the conversion of the prison keeper. You know, it's amazing, you know, sometimes what God allows us to go through, and if we have the right attitude, what comes out of it. And I had to think about that. When I'm going through a tough time, when things ain't going right, and I'm upset, it's because I'm focused on the present. But when we focus on the eternal, is what we need to do when we're going through those times. So it was thought that I had, it really touched me as I thought about that and challenged me. Okay, Acts 16, starting at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the innkeeper of the prison, awake out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the surgeon, saying, let those men go. And the innkeeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. At this time, all who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
I also welcome each one of you this evening. It seemed like Brother Nathan's thoughts and mine are running along the same line. I appreciated his comments and his prayer for me. This evening I'd like to look at the topic, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. From the youngest one of you here, who perhaps has many, many years laid out in front of you, to the oldest one here, God has a plan for you. To run the race well and to finish strong. God has a plan for your life. We'd like to look at this portion of Paul's second missionary journey and try to make applications to your life, to God's plan for your life. We find here that Paul has left Antioch. If you remember, he and Barnabas were in Antioch, and they had a dispute. They had a dispute whether they would take John Mark along or not. Barnabas decided he would take him, and Paul chose Silas. And God laid on their heart, on Paul's heart, a desire to go and visit the churches that he visited on the first missionary journey. He wanted to go back around again and visit them and strengthen them and build them up. Scripture says that Paul took Silas and he started out strengthening the churches. He went to Derbe and he went to Lystra. And we know in Lystra, Timothy joined them for the first time. And they continued to start new churches and build up and encourage the old one. They had a plan on how they wanted to continue, how they were going to go forward in their missionary journey. But we see in tonight's lesson that God had a very different plan. It was a different plan from what Paul and Silas had been thinking. If you'd like to open your Bibles, we are going verse by verse tonight through Acts 16, and we'd like to back up and begin in verse 6. If you'd like to follow along your Bibles, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach a word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they assayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. I want you to think of Paul and Silas and their desires to serve God. Their desires to serve God. Look at verse 6. They wanted to go into Southwest Asia. They wanted to go down around Ethiopia, Thyatira, Smyrna, all those cities down there. And God said no. God sent the Holy Ghost and forbid them to preach the word in Asia. They said, okay, we'll go north to Bithynia and preach the word up there. And once again, Scripture says in verse 7, but the Spirit suffered them not. So they went due west to Troas. How the Holy Ghost spoke to Paul and Silas, I don't know. But I do know that he must have made the command very clear, because Paul obeyed. You know, in that I see a beautiful lesson for each of us of submission and obedience. Troas was probably the last place on Paul and Silas's mind where they wanted to go. They had their own plan. Their own plan. And they probably weren't too excited about being told no. But yet they obeyed. They obeyed God and his plan. It's said that David Livingston wanted to go to China, but God sent him to Africa. William Carey had a desire to go to Polynesia, and God sent him to India. Adoniram Judson wanted to go to India, and God sent him to Burma. The first lesson for us tonight is that God has a path laid out for each of us. God has a path for you. God has your life planned out, and it may be very different from what you have in mind. God has a path laid out, a perfect plan that's laid out for us. God loves us and wants the best for us. Here, God is directing Paul eventually to the Philippian jail. Some of you, God has directed through financial hardships, perhaps loss of loved ones, through disease and sickness. It's the path that God has laid out for you. The path, your path, may be like Paul's and not be the one that you desire. It's maybe not your first choice or your second choice, but God has a path for you. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. And a vision appeared to Paul at night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Paul had a vision. It was a man from Macedonia saying, Come over and help us. It was a clear call, and Paul responded immediately. He took a straight course to a place he had not desired to go. It was a completely new continent. When he crossed over the sea, the Aegean Sea, it was into the continent of Europe. It was a completely new place, a place he had not planned to go, but he went and he accepted God's plan. In this, we see the second point. Won't you trust in God's plan that he has laid out for you? Trust in the plan that God has called you, the path he has called you to walk. You know, Paul had it all worked out in his mind. He had a plan, but God had another plan. And it happens to us, doesn't it? My father and mother had a plan to retire, live the life of leisure, and my father died when he was 49. And our plans we make, they don't include the loss of loved ones. Our plans don't include diagnosis of cancer. Our plans don't include losing our job. But our plans often go out of the door. Will you trust God? Will you put your hand in His and walk boldly forward in His plan, even when it differs from your own? Will you trust in God's plan for your life? Paul did. Let's look at the next few verses, verses 13 through 15. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The third point I'd like you to note from these verses is that God's plan for you includes many bright days. There are happy, bright days in God's plan for you. We see here Paul on the Sabbath seeks out worship, and he finds a group of women praying on the riverbank. That would tell us that there are very little Jews present in the town of Philippi. But the women were worshiping by the river, and among them was Lydia, the seller of purple, who had her heart opened by God and was able to grasp the truth that Paul presented to her. Lydia responded, not just her, but her entire household. A new believer. I want you to notice one thing. That Lydia was from Thyatira. To me, that's important. Where is Thyatira? It's down in Asia Minor. It's a city that God had prohibited Paul and Silas to go to. At least at that time, they do go later. Paul desired to go and preach the gospel in Asia Minor. But instead, God's plan included bringing Asia Minor to Paul. Paul's first convert that's recorded in Scripture after hearing the Macedonian call was Lydia, a person from Thyatira in Asia Minor, a place where God had told him not to go. Isn't God's plan wonderful for each of us? God works it out, and along the way it's filled with many bright days. Our life is planned by God. God has a plan for you. Will you trust God's plan? And God's plan includes many bright days. The fourth point I'd like you to consider is that God's plan reveals his power and might. In each of our lives, as we walk and with God along the plan he has laid out, God reveals his power and might. Verses 16 through 18. And it came to pass that as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. God's plan reveals his power and might. Have you witnessed the awesome power of God in your life? Have you seen miracles done in your life? God demonstrates his power and his might through the plan that he lays out. Here we see Paul casting out demons. This demon-possessed slave girl made her master's money by fortune-telling, by soothsaying. She was a slave to both the demon and she was a slave to her master. She was doubly enslaved. And she followed Paul around, crying out, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She did it for many days, Scripture says. She kept crying out, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Paul, through the power of Jesus Christ, cast this demon out, and the girl was changed and transformed by the power of God. She could no longer make her masters any money. It was a miracle. It was a demonstration of God's power. It's interesting to consider Paul's response to this true statement. I thought about it. What the slave girl kept crying out was absolutely true, wasn't it? These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. It's a true statement. Yet the Scripture says it grieved Paul. It bothered him. It annoyed him. And I wondered, what was wrong with a demon-possessed girl screaming out the truth about God? And I think it had something to do with what Brother Nathan talked about and spoke about in his prayer. Hypocrisy and living out what we believe. You see, words unaccompanied by true hearts and actions are absolutely worthless. They tear down the kingdom rather than building it up. Those citizens of Philippi knew that slave girl as a possessed girl. Her actions didn't match the words that were coming from her mouth. True words from an evil or a false heart are unacceptable to God. When the words are true, but the heart and actions are evil, and things don't line up, it doesn't bring honor and glory to God. Unbelievers notice that it is nothing but a sham and hypocrisy. And I was challenged by that. Does this sometimes describe you when your words are different from your actions? It does me by times. Sisters, you wear a covering, and in your covering, we had a lesson on that this morning. In wearing your covering, you scream out to the world around you that you're a Christian, you're a believer. Everyone knows it. But if you dress in the modern fashions of the world, it's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. You wear a covering and you're aggressive at home or in the workplace, refusing to submit. It's inconsistent with what you're preaching through your covering. You wear a covering and you refuse to have the meek, quiet spirit Scripture commands, and it's inconsistent, and your testimony is marred, and God is not glorified. Brethren, you're known in the workplace to be a Christian, to be a believer, and yet sometimes you're tempted to laugh at off-color jokes. You're ashamed to bow your head in the lunchroom. You're grouchy and mean-spirited. You refuse to treat others with love and kindness and mercy. You will be labeled a hypocrite because your actions don't match your words. You will bring shame to God. Does this describe you? Is it any wonder why this demon-possessed girl, even though she cried out the truth, grieved Paul? It annoyed him. And in the power of Jesus Christ, he commanded the evil spirit to leave, and the girl was transformed, just as Christ transforms us. Miracles, evidence of God's power and might, we see them in our lives. And looking back, I'm certain you could testify that God's plan has led you to see his power and might. God's plan reveals his power and might. We looked at God has a plan for your life. You need to trust in God's plan. God's plan has bright days. God's plan reveals his power and might. The next point I'd like you to consider is that God's plan often includes dark days, tough times, times of trials. We can expect them. We can expect them. They are promised to us in God's word that we will have them. Let's look at verses 19 to 24. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. As Brother Nathan said in the opening, it's a pretty dark day for Paul and Silas. You see, these masters of the slave girl lost their income. Paul and Silas were dragged before the magistrates with the crime of sowing unrest. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and beat them severely. They were thrown into the innermost prison with their feet fastened in stocks and a jailer to guard them. To say the least, it was a hard and terrible place. But keep in mind, it's exactly where God had led them from the very beginning. It's exactly where God had led them. And Christians from the very beginning, down through the ages, even unto today, are led by God into some very hard places. It's a time to strengthen us, a time to refine us. It's a time to increase our faith. The hymn we sing says, "When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient will be thy supply. The flame will not hurt you. My only design is thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." We too can expect hard times, tough times in life. Granted, sometimes these hard times are the result of our sin, a result of reaping what we sowed, and I'm not talking about that. Sometimes we can be in the exact center of God's will, doing exactly what he wants us to do, and experience hard times. That's what Paul and Silas experienced. God's plan for us includes some dark, hard days, and it places us in some tough places, and it's for our good, given to us by a loving God. We looked at the fact that our life is planned by God, that we need to trust God's plan, that God's plan includes bright days, God's plan reveals His power and might, God's plan has dark days. Now I invite you to consider the challenge. What is your response to God's plan for your life? What is your response? How do you respond to God and the plan He has laid out for you, especially the hard times in life? Look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Here we see Paul and Silas severely beaten, sitting in a dark, damp inner prison, their feet fastened in stocks. They were unable to lie down. They were unable to rest. And it was all because God directed them there. You know, the natural tendency would be to be discouraged. Shouldn't Paul and Silas be disheartened, crying out in pain, bemoaning their fate, saying, "We never wanted to come here anyway"? Shouldn't they be trying to seek some comfort in sleep? But what were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns and praising God. What a beautiful scene. Deep and dark in that innermost prison, in the innermost cell, in the middle of the night, their bodies racked with pain from the beating they took, their feet in stocks, not knowing what tomorrow may bring, they prayed and sang hymns of praise to God. What a challenge for us. How do we respond when we hit the hard times and God's plans for us? When God leads us into the dark days, will you respond in prayer and praise as Paul and Silas did? I happen to think of the Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. They recognized that that was a day that the Lord has made, and they were rejoicing and being glad in it. We looked at our life as planned by God. We need to trust God's plan. God's plan includes bright days. In God's plan, His power and might is revealed. God's plan has dark days. Prayer and praise is the proper response to God's plan. And the last one I'd like you to consider is victory as a result of following God's plan. Victory is a result of following God's plan. As we look at that, I'd like you to notice two types of victory. One is a temporal victory, achieving of goals, an immediate victory. And the other one is a final and ultimate victory. Let's look at verses 25 through 35. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, and the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. If it's your desire to follow God's plan, if you put yourself in the center of God's will and submit your desires to His, I guarantee you victory will be the result. It'll be the best life you could ever lead by placing yourself in the center of God's will. We are told in 1 John 5 that our faith, our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and was sent to this world, is the victory that overcomes the world. To have victory, you have to follow God's plan. Paul and Silas started out on this second missionary journey with a desire to make converts, to strengthen churches, to set up new churches. Were they successful? They were, weren't they? They were very successful. Although it was a different plan than what they had, they were victorious. They were successful. Here in the jail in Philippi, prisoners heard them. The jailer heard them. The jailer's family was converted. It was a victorious mission by following God's plan, even though it included jail, beating, the stocks. They were faithful, and because of it, they were victorious. They were victorious. What do you think about the faithfulness of Paul and Silas? Was it an encouragement, a testimony to the jailer and inmates, their response to that hard situation? I'm certain it was. Think about how their faithfulness was effective for many years after that. As the account was repeated over and over, even unto today, as we read the account, we're encouraged, and their victory goes on and on. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. I want to point out something here. Philippians chapter 4. The book of Acts makes the Gospels come alive, I believe. Epistles of Paul. By knowing the book of Acts, the epistles of Paul come alive. And I want you to think about something. Later in life, Paul wrote to this same church in Philippi, didn't he? He wrote to the church that knew he was imprisoned. He wrote to a church that knew the incident that happened and their faithfulness to God's plan. Maybe Lydia was still in the Philippian church when Paul wrote the letter. I don't know. Maybe the jailer and his family, maybe other prisoners that were in jail that very day were still members of the Philippian church when Paul wrote the letter. I don't know. But these people in Philippi would have known of Paul and Silas's experience and their testimony in the Philippian jail. And he writes in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things." And then he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, the God of peace shall be with you." He was writing to people that knew his testimony and his witness. They had seen him in action. His words matched his actions. They knew his response in the Philippian jail. You see, by being faithful to God's plan, Paul and Silas was victorious. They were victorious in their mission. I'd also ask you to consider their final victory of being faithful. There was a great earthquake, and the doors were open, and the bonds were loosed, and when day came, they were set free. They had a final and a complete victory. And each of us, if we are faithful to the plan God designed for us, if we put ourselves in the center of His will and walk hand in hand with Him through life, we will have the ultimate victory and be set free from our struggle with sin. I visited Brother Charles Lehigh, I think the last time he was in the Hanover Hospital, and we had a good visit. And I said as I was leaving to him, I said, I hope to see you the next time at home and feeling well. And he said to me, he said, I'll get out of here one way or the other. And he said, I'll be well one way or the other. You see, Brother Charles knew that the ultimate victory was his because he was walking faithfully with his God. One way or the other, he was going to be victorious. In the end, it's a beautiful picture similar to Paul and Silas. They knew that they would be victorious in the end. So, brother and sister, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you. Has a plan for me. Our plans are often different details, but the basics are all still the same. I'd encourage you to consider these basic points in the plan of your life. Life race is planned by God, especially for you. You need to trust in God's plan. Put your hand in His and go boldly forward, even if you don't understand it. You need to know that God's plan will include bright days. You need to recognize that God's plan will reveal His power and might to you if you look for it. You need to know that God's plan will also include dark days and hard times. You need to recognize and purpose in your heart that prayer and praise is the correct response to God's plan. And you need to be encouraged by the truth that victory will be yours if you faithfully follow the plan that God has laid out for you. God has a plan for your life. Will you accept it? Will you put yourself in the center of God's will? Will you rejoice in prayer and praise God, even in the tough times? God bless you.
We want to thank God for using Brother Brian tonight for the message that God had given him to bring to us tonight. So the question is, does God have a plan for me? That's each one of us has that question to ask. The older I get, the more I believe that nothing happens by accident. We can all look back in our lives and see things when we realize some of it weren't so nice, but they were to be. Whatever happened was not an accident, was in God's plan. God's plan, God does have a plan. He had a plan for the Apostle Paul. I remember I was looking and I couldn't find it, but Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. I think it was that way. And they tried to persuade him not to go. And I can't say the exact words he said. In other words, he said, it doesn't matter. These things don't, what's going to happen to me doesn't alarm me. And I guess along with that thought, I appreciated what Brother Brian said. I want to read two verses here, what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Paul, or Brian, was in Philippians chapter 4, back in chapter 3, 13, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What did he do? He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe Paul was looking back, perhaps, on some of the things that he would wish he would have never done, and perhaps the things that he did do for God. But he said, I'm going to forget those things. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, I press toward the mark. And that's what we need to do today. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. And thank God for the message tonight. And God was praised. And let's praise him as we come and stand for prayer.